Just go solo.
This is Solo Travel Talk. Your solo travel advisor is Astrid Clements.
Experiencing another culture is one of the reasons to get out there and travel. Hello, everyone. My name is Catherine, and I am Astrid's producer. On this episode of Solo Travel Talk, Astrid is going to share all about getting savvy about the do's and don'ts when you are in another culture. Astrid, why are do's and don'ts so important?
Well, bottom line is there's so many do's and don'ts that are different for different parts of the world. And basically what is okay in one culture is totally taboo in another culture. I'll give you just an example of, say, if you're going to Asia and how you would greet someone. Typically, you would just do a slight bow. But if you're in Western Europe, if you do a slight bow when you're meeting somebody, they'll look at you like, hello? No, but, you know, a handshake or a kiss on each cheek. And you would not do that in China on first meeting somebody. So it's really important to understand what is okay to do in different areas of the world. So first and foremost, you need to know what the do's and don'ts are in different cultures. Then secondly, you don't want to offend anybody, and that kind of goes into a little bit of what I just said, but you could do something that is very offensive that you wouldn't even know was offensive, and then all of a sudden you're embarrassed. Or, you know, this misunderstanding could escalate to where it becomes something that threatens your safety. So you need to be aware of what certain body language or gestures or how you dress. You need to know what is acceptable and what's not so you don't offend. Okay, that's the second reason. Then the third one is familiarity with the do's and don'ts allows you to be a lot more comfortable in another culture. Basically, when you have the understanding of the basic culture that you're visiting, you can enjoy your visit more, you're more relaxed, you're not as stressed, you know you're doing the right thing, you know you're properly dressed, your eating etiquette is correct, body language, gestures, and basically, you know, you don't want to be tagged as the ugly American. American tourists and travelers, unfortunately, they still do have this reputation. They have the reputation of being rude, loud, unmannerly, demanding, kind of aggressive. And this shows that you really aren't in sync with the culture that you are in at the moment. So this is important because when you do inadvertently offend someone or somebody else rejects you, you'll get poor service. Something could, you know, they could completely misinterpret you and get aggressive with you. So it's real important, I think, to know that you are doing the right thing wherever you travel in terms of culture, and not be termed as that ugly American. So I kind of sum it up. It's really somewhat common sense with the thought of when you're in Rome, do as the Romans do. You can't do as the Romans do when you're in Rome if you don't know what they do. That's the bottom line.
And do you think that most people, when you're as the person visiting another culture, do you think that most people will give you a little bit of leeway if you at least demonstrate that you're trying, that they can get the feeling like you're trying, you're making the effort to be culturally sensitive and agree with the culture that you're visiting?
Oh yeah. One of the key things is if you just learn a few of the words, like hello, yes, no, thank you, please. How much does this cost? Or just a phrase that they use. In fact, I was in London one time, And I had kind of gotten a little bit turned around. I was trying to find the Portobello Flea Market, which is every Saturday, and it's great. If you like flea markets and you're in London, you have to go to the Portobello Flea Market. Well, I went into this cafe, got a cup of coffee, and I was standing next to a gentleman, and he looked very nice. So I said, if I keep going straight, will I get to the Portobello Flea Market? And he said, yeah, there's two more turns or whatever, and he said, then you'll see it. I found out that I was on the right track. But then when he left, he looked at me and he said, cheerio. And so from that point on, whenever I felt like it was the right thing to say when I was in England, I would say cheerio when I left, or, you know, left the presence of a group or whatever. It's just such an endearing word. If you do things like that, people will, they'll take to you much more. You know, they will feel like that you have respect for them, and it's just, it breaks some of the ice.
And I know, too, because you're so much about experience. You're about an experience as a traveler. If you're trying to get a feel for a culture, that is part of the experience of travel, right? That, I mean, that's sort of the core when you're really trying to feel the culture and be a part of it. That just adds to your overall, the reason why we go traveling.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because you can go somewhere and sightsee and you can have dinner and relax and everything. But if you don't take the time, and some people actually don't like to do some of these things, but the more you go to the museums or you go to ethnic entertainment at night, go on a food tour, browse the flea markets, just kind of do as, like I said, when in Rome, do as the Romans do. You start to get a whole new feel and excitement about a place. It's not just going somewhere and looking at this and kind of saying, oh, well, yeah, that's nice, that was interesting. But to do more and more of it, you get the substance behind the traditions and why history caused this to happen, and now why this culture doesn't do this. And it makes the whole trip a lot more pleasurable.
Yeah, I love that word you use, substance. Like, that feels really great word for what we're talking about. It's like you're getting the substance of a trip, but when you're really trying to be a part of the culture.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So Astrid, are cultural do's and don'ts really country specific? And by that I mean, does the solo traveler have to specifically research the countries that they will visit, or are there some basics that really are going to work most places?
The do's and don'ts can be, here again, regionally specific, which I mean either Asian, Latin American, Middle Eastern, Western European, but they also can be different within the regions. What is correct in Mexico might be shunned upon in Bolivia. So you can't just think totally regionally. Then there's also microcultures within countries. And I can use Louisiana, where I'm from, as an example. We, you know, are part of the United States of America, but we have a very rich, unique culture. And within our state, we have microcultures. New Orleans is has still a very old world European feel. We celebrate, you know, Réveillon and Mardi Gras and different types of important dates in New Orleans. You know, there's more emphasis on dressing and socializing. So it's a whole different feel to New Orleans, even with the architecture there. I think that helps build in the cultural consciousness of the city. Then if you go a little bit to the west, in the Lafayette area, you're in what's called the Cajun country. And in this area of Louisiana, they're still very social, but it's a more relaxed feel. They have their own unique music, zydeco, there's a lot of dancing, and there's certain kinds of Cajun dancing that they do on a weekly basis. And it's a whole different feel than if you're in New Orleans. Still very social, but it's in a different way. So you need to be mindful if you're going somewhere. Am I going to an area where it's Cajun, or how is it different in New Orleans? Another example is, say, in Germany. My mother was born in Berlin, and I grew up with my grandparents when I was very young. And Northern Germans are cool, and they're more formal, and they do what they're supposed to do, and they're very conscientious, and the German word's coming to me, fleißig, right now. They're very industrious. But then if you go to Southern Germany, to Bavaria, it's a lot different. First of all, they wear a certain kinds of clothes. Not everybody, but there's a distinct tradition in Bavarian clothing. Their music is not anything like they really enjoy or listen to in Northern Germany. Their music is more um-papa, and all of that, and Oktoberfest, and that kind of thing. That is the ethos or the mindset down there. So in Germany, you know, it's different in the north than it is in the south. So it's important that you know those differences.
I've actually faced that before where people ask me about like being an American or whatever. And I often will use the phrase and I'll just say, I'm here to learn and appreciate about your culture. Sometimes I'll just turn it back as a way to say, I'm here as a visitor to learn about another place. And I have actually found that that can be a little bit of a diffusing the situation and to show that like I'm open to other cultures, I'm open to other experiences. And I find that that has been very helpful for me sometimes when I've faced that situation.
Oh, yeah. It's funny if you start asking others about what they think is cool to do, where should I go eat, what's your favorite thing about your city, or what shouldn't I do? Just start asking them questions. Answer what they've asked you. And like I said, try to deflect it by not saying, you know, Americans, or, you know, refer to Americans. And I'm not saying that's bad in all situations.
Right, but I don't speak for all Americans.
Yeah, but yeah. Just bring your point of view, and they can let them make their own decisions or mind up about what you've said. Because I know when I travel, and this has happened to me numerous times, I'll have people say, well, you know, you don't act like an American, you know. And I tell them, I said, well, you know, I'm a native and I've lived there my whole life. But I've had so much experience traveling all over the world that I have obviously crossed that barrier. And most people don't see me as being narrow-minded in a certain way. And I think that's one of the goals with learning the cultural do's and don'ts. There are lots of different ways to do certain things. And in certain areas of the world, they do it one way, and that's the way they like it.
And I think it's also a good example that there's not an American, you know, and very typical, like the same way that it wouldn't be appropriate for me to think of like, oh, there is a French person, you know, this is how the French are. It's not really fair to kind of put those labels onto people. And those are the kinds of experiences that we get when we travel that sort of break down those expectations and those predetermined views of other cultures.
Yes. And just going back to the example of Germany, the Northern Germans are typically much more reserved to themselves, kind of, I don't want to say off-puttish, but, you know, they just aren't real relaxed and open unless you befriend them and you become their friends or you're part of their family, etc. But you go to the South, and it's different. Yeah. There's just, it's a more comfortable feel, really, just even walking down the street. And here again, within the same country, Germany, There are different types of Germans, you know, obviously different personalities, but it has to do somewhat with their culture, their traditions, how they were raised, and how they see life.
It's the compare and contrast things. There's some things that are similar, and then there's things that are very individual and different. It's interesting.
Yes, very interesting.
Astrid, we know that you are a good researcher. You've convinced us here we got to get our do's and don'ts before we go on our trip. So how do you figure out cultural do's and don'ts in advance when you're planning your next travel?
Okay, well, before I go anywhere, I just Google, Google, Google. Google is wonderful. You don't have to go to the library anymore. It's just great. Well, I start Googling, and what I do, too, is I buy a journal for every trip that I go on. So as I Google and I find out things that I want to do or places where I want to go eat, anything that has to do with the trip, I put in this journal. I also do a lot of Googling on culture, and specifically, what are the cultural do's and don'ts when traveling to Morocco? Cultural do's and don'ts in Marrakesh. I Google a lot about culture and specifics, or, you know, what are unique features of the culture in, say, Spain. So I do a lot of research basically on culture and cultural do's and don'ts. Google is my first starting place. The next place I always go to is the U.S. State Department's website and their travel section. They've got a fantastic travel section. And for each country, they will give you cultural do's and don'ts. They also, for the woman traveler, give you a little bit more in-depth information in terms of what you should do and not, and how it's culturally important or you should avoid doing this. So that's a very good website. Then I still do go to Barnes & Noble's. I get a few travel books and get them, read everything I can read about where I'm going. And I'm making notes all the time in my travel journal. One of the things that I've been doing for the last couple of years is I will YouTube this site. Like, if I want to know the cultural do's and don'ts of Singapore. And they have a lot of good YouTube videos on cultural do's and don'ts if you're traveling to Singapore, because Singapore has a lot of things that you should know. And some of these things are actually violations of the law.
Legal issues.
Yes, yes. And that's another thing. You know, you've got cultural do's and don'ts, but some of these cultural do's and don'ts actually do transfer into what's considered legal and illegal. So, because a lot of it is based on, the law is based on a tradition or a belief system, etc. So, I watch these YouTube videos, and they're wonderful because, to me, I'm a very visual person. So, if I see something, I remember it better than if I just read it and take notes. I think that's one of the reasons why I actually keep taking a lot of notes, because I don't remember what I read as well as if I read it and write it down. Then I have it and I can go over it again before I leave.
Listeners, you can go back to episode 2 of Solo Travel Talk, and Astrid goes into depth about how she uses YouTube. It's her secret weapon.
Yes, I think it's great. Yeah. I cannot talk about YouTube videos enough. And every time that I do, Catherine, share with people, just go YouTube it. They asked me about a particular hotel or should I stay at this hotel versus the other. I said, go on the web and YouTube so-and-so hotel YouTube and see what you get on it. And invariably, I've made good decisions because I've watched these YouTubes.
That's why we dedicated a whole episode to it. It's great.
Okay. Then you can also take courses. You can take courses on cultural literacy, cultural do's and don'ts. Some are offered online. If you live in D.C. or in New York City, they've got private corporations that do all kinds of courses, as well as I think there's some nonprofits, etc. But This is becoming more and more important, obviously, with the business traveler and doing business in other countries with other cultures. But you can take a course.
Is that called protocol? Do they usually call them protocol courses?
It is somewhat. Yes. It really started in D.C., obviously. But it's become more and more important now. So it's springing up. And there are even courses, like I said, on the internet. Just to kind of wrap this question up, when I get all this information, whether it's from the YouTube or Googling or a travel book that I've gotten, I write down everything that I think is important. Before I leave, I go over these cultural do's and don'ts or some of the traditions, some of the things that I think will make me understand what I'm getting ready to see and to experience, to where I don't miss something. So I go over it before I leave. I go over it in the plane. Then I actually, from time to time during the trip, I will go over these one more time so I will get them clear in my mind. Because you might be watching some people talking and somebody's saying something and one person puts their hand on the hip and the other one, you know, does something else with their hand and you think you're following what they're doing and what they're saying. But if you don't know what they're doing with their body gestures, you really don't get the point of the interaction between the two. So all these things, they might seem not that important, but if you pay attention to them, your trip will be a lot more exciting and enriching.
Final question. The phrase cultural do's and don'ts have come up, as well as the phrase cultural literacy. How are do's and don'ts different from cultural literacy?
Okay. Do's and don'ts are basically what you should do, and as important or more important, what you should not do when you're traveling to a specific culture. Because you don't want to offend and you don't want to do anything that would create a bad situation that it could even ultimately compromise your safety. Cultural literacy, on the other hand, is broadly the ability to understand and participate fluently in a given culture. You have to understand a culture basically in a much deeper and more comprehensive way. A different culture is a whole different way of life. As humans, we all have basic needs. But to me, it is so interesting to see how different people live all over the world because of their different cultures. So cultural literacy is understanding in a broad way their way of life, their attitudes, what they consider to be right and wrong. It's different all over the world, and that's very hard for some people to adjust to. Also, understanding their clothes, their food, their art, the history, and the religion, and how all that plays together to create a full culture. How people express themselves verbally and non-verbally. I just shared about the gestures. Body language in certain areas of the world, oh, that is very powerful. The history again, the art, the spiritual beliefs, and the stories and the fables and the literature, all this goes into the whole matrix that makes up a culture. So if you're culturally literate, say you have a good fluency in Spanish culture and you consider yourself culturally literate when it comes to Spain, you have a lot of understanding of a lot of the different aspects of what has gone in to make Spanish culture what it is. It's not just the cultural do's and don'ts, you know, how you greet someone or, you know, don't bring these kinds of flowers if you're visiting and you're bringing a gift to the host, etc. So it's completely different. It's a whole new, really, genre of learning. And this kind of started in the late 70s. There was a professor by the name of, I think, E.D. Hirsch, and he started looking at, well, it really started with American culture, and he felt like that the American youth were so culturally illiterate about their own culture, our own history, geography, and then taking a step further, the different cultures of the world. So he started delving into basically this concept, and, you know, as globalization has become more and more important, this whole genre of cultural literacy or this type of knowledge base has become more and more important. So that's really what I think are the two key differences. I'll go a little bit more into it because I kind of want to end it in a way that maybe the listener will get just a clear picture of, okay, when I travel, number one, I want to get the cultural do's and don'ts. I want to know what those are. But I also want to do enough pre-trip prep that I have a good feeling and I know something about a lot of the different aspects of the culture. Because when you go there, then you will see things in a much more vivid way, more understanding. I mean, I went around the world last year, and one of my stops was Lisbon. Well, they have this beautiful Majolica, I think that's what you call the painting. I'm sorry if I messed that up. But I read about it before, and I knew, you know, some of the techniques and, you know, where it was used, etc. But when I went to Lisbon and went to the museum that was specifically about this type of tile painting and art, and the many different uses of it, not only for functional things, but just decorative things, and how they used it to express all kinds of values and history, and just, it just was fabulous. I mean, I thought, oh gosh, I would love to have a home that had this type of tile work in it, etc. But if you don't read about it or you don't have enough sensitivity to it before you see it, you'll say, oh, that's pretty, you know, but you won't really get the meaning behind it and the creativity and why it's so wonderful to the Portuguese and why they continue to create this type of art in new different ways. It's really, really important that you do that. So kind of wrap this part up by saying that I think that it's people should strive to possess enough knowledge to where they're culturally literate enough to communicate effectively in another culture. And what I mean about this is basically you should seek to understand that culture's point of view. You know, learning to meet people where they are, finding common ground so you can engage personally on a deeper level. Not just that you're there, you're visiting, you're seeing things, but, you know, engage in conversation, in activities, do things, you know, that are specific to where you're going. Like I shared, go to an ethnic show. I know when I was in Lisbon, Fado is a specific type of music genre, singing and guitar playing, that evolved out of the Portuguese history, specifically with the sailors leaving to discover the world. But it's got a very distinctive feel and haunting type of melodies. They have places, it's kind of like a speakeasy atmosphere. And so this is still very popular in Portugal, and specifically in Lisbon. So one night I said, I really want to go to a Fado night. I want to have a Portuguese dinner. I want to listen to Fado. I was a solo traveler, so I had to figure out how to do this and know that I would be safe and I wouldn't feel like I was out of place and go to the right Fado club. So I had the concierge book what he thought was the best Fado club in Lisbon, and I went there that night, and it was beautiful. If I didn't go to something like that and experience that, and you know, I did meet other people there and interact, and I would have missed something that is really part of the consciousness of the Portuguese people. There's something about them that is a little bit on the melancholy side, but they that is not a bad thing. You know, it kind of keeps them focused on what's right and doing well, and they kind of go off into that phase, but they come right back out of it. So it's very interesting because it goes with that area of the world, that culture. You know, I do think that you need to learn to meet people or get on their level. And travel develops this global mindedness. Basically, the more you travel and the more you go to different cultures, you become more cosmopolitan. It's just a fact. Even if you resist certain cultures, it's very funny. When you get home, you'll like it more than you thought you were liking it when it was there. You'll have a better understanding of it. You know, you really want to strive, I think, to be a citizen of the world. It's very important that you can basically feel comfortable wherever you go in the world, no matter what the culture is. If you're open to it, you do your pre-trip research, and you try to absorb as much of it as you can and interact with the people, you'll be amazed. You will feel more and more cosmopolitan, and like I said, citizen of the world. You might be an American, but it's not, as I said, that ugly American. So that's really, that's kind of the bottom line.
Is it overstating it, do you think, to say what we're talking about is like adding the depth to your trip?
Oh, yeah. The cultural literacy is going to definitely add the depth to your trip, because you can go to a place, obviously, and sightsee. You can go out to eat. You can walk on the streets. But if you do your research, and then once you get there, you go to the museums, you go to the food tours, some of the markets, you go into craft-making demonstrations, do a lot of the different things that are unique to this place or this destination, even more so than you think you should. I know I have gone to the interior, well, here again in Lisbon. I love that tile so much. There was a museum of interior decor, and I thought, I'm going to go to that. I want to see what real Portuguese interiors look like and what they look like through their history and how they've evolved in different periods, etc. It was fabulous. And here again, that tile was used in so many different ways, sometimes on furniture, you know, obviously on walls, but, you know, in pieces of artwork, definitely in their china, etc., on their floors. I mean, but the way that they would use it in different ways for either accent or a focal point, wonderful. So if you take the time to go to these different things that are unique to a place, that place becomes so much more alive to you. You appreciate their culture. You can kind of see their point of view much more. And, you know, you come home and you probably will do some things differently by things that you've seen and experienced in another culture that you think you want to do.
I think knowing the do's and don'ts are a good start for that.
Yes.
So one last thing, Astrid, you get your do's and don'ts. How?
Okay. Just very easily. Google. That's number one. Second, go to the U.S. State Department's website, their travel section, and tag whatever country that you're going to and read their cultural information, their do's and don'ts, laws, etc. Travel books, I still get them. Barnes & Noble, bookstore, I think they're still valuable, but they're not a necessity. YouTube videos, my secret weapon. Just Google YouTube video, cultural do's and don'ts when traveling in Spain. I guarantee you you'll get 10, 15 videos. And then last, take a course. They have online courses now dealing with all kinds of different cultural do's and don'ts, literacy for going to different countries. And if you're in D.C., New York, or probably L.A., I don't know of any in L.A., but in some of the bigger cities, they have actual courses that you can take that will prepare you for going to specific countries and their cultures. So those are the key things.
And then write it all down in your journal.
Yes. Make sure as you're learning everything that you write it down, because you need to go over it. At least I do, and I suggest that several times so you get it all. You get them all down.
Listeners, you now know how important Astrid thinks the cultural do's and don'ts are to make you have a comfortable, enjoyable trip. Did you know that packing is one of the top sources of stress Astrid hears about from would-be travelers? That's why Astrid has an amazing packing list that you can get for yourself. Just go to astridtravel.com. Right there on the homepage, you can download her amazing packing list. It's complimentary. You can subscribe to this podcast, Solo Travel Talk, on iTunes, SoundCloud, and find it any of the finer places podcasts can be found. We'd love for you to give us a rating, review us, and share it with a friend. Knowing your cultural do's and don'ts is all about comfort and confidence. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you next week on Solo Travel Talk.
Thank you for listening to Solo Travel Talk. Follow Astrid on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. To learn more about Astrid or her solo travel advisors, visit her website, astridtravel.com.